He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. Welcome to June. It's the June 1st live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Before we dig in today, let's just look real quickly at yesterday. We were down 223 yesterday. Big reversal in oil, but oil is back up today. Now, the Dow was up 100 points, but right now it's starting to tail off here. It's only up 11 points right now. 33,000, that's about right where it's pegged at the current time. The NASDAQ was off to a good start, starting to give up some of those gains, though. It's up 77 points. Salesforce had a big impact on the NASDAQ. Salesforce came in with some very strong numbers. And that lifted a lot of the software stocks, but they're tailing off a little bit. The S&P 500 is still up. It's up 5 points, 4,137. Crude oil is up $1.95 to 116.62. And there was some news that we'll go over today that could affect oil prices, some news out of OPEC. The Russell 2000 small cap index is up 0.25%. And we've got interest rates pretty steady today. They were up yesterday, like 12 basis points, something like that. We're 2.84, 2.85 right now. Gold is quiet. It's up a dollar to 1849. Bitcoin is got a little bit under it. It's up $431 today. And Bitcoin is currently trading at $31,747. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now radio show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. As usual, I'm here with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And look at that, Barry. We were up 120 on the Dow. Now we're down 17. That didn't last very long.
I was looking at the monthly numbers from, you know, last month, and, you know, relatively a pretty flat month for the market. I think down slightly depending on which one you look at. But then when you think about the, you know, the volatility that occurred in May, right? It was almost unbelievable. You know, almost blew my mind. I'm like, really? So it only finished, you know, up or down 1%.
Yeah,
it felt like a much different ride.
You know, it was up 1% one day, down 1% the next, up 1% the next day. So I guess we closed on down 1% for the entire month.
It depended on which one you look like. It was you know, I mean, the movement was, you know, 1-2% in one direction or the other.
Well, yesterday, you know, we started off with the big down day. And it was basically because oil was up $4.50 per barrel yesterday. It looked like there was just no stopping oil. Then all of a sudden, oil started to sell off, and the market actually rallied somewhat yesterday. I mean, it rallied quite a bit off of its lows, but still closed down. And the news there on oil was maybe, we'll see, OPEC meets this week, and they're talking about kicking Russia. So Russia is the plus. It's OPEC plus. And they've been pretty adamant. OPEC has been pretty adamant about not letting politics enter into their decisions whatsoever. They just want the oil needs of the world. Isn't that nice of them to determine, you know, their actions? And they have not wanted to kick Russia out, but they are talking about possibly boosting production. So we'll see what happens. And it was a complete about face yesterday. I mean, oil was way up. The oil stocks were way up in the morning. and then down in the afternoon. They could exempt Russia, not kick them out, but exempt them from oil production targets. So we'll see what happens there. Now, the oil stocks are back up here today.
Yeah, and the thought process was that in terms of, you know, so essentially take Russia out, and then, you know, they would, the remaining members, right, would up their production to get, you know, to kind of make up for that Russia being out. But when, you know, I was listening to a couple of commodities folks on it, and, you know, in reality, number one, they've been missing their targets anyway for production. So, you know, to think that they just have this extra capacity that they can just throw back online, right, and take over that Russian void is kind of, you know, almost wishful thinking to a certain extent. And I think that was the short move that we saw yesterday. And then today, it's, you know, reality kind of kicks back in, and it's like, well, if they do kick them out, I don't know if they can increase the, or even agree what, you know, who fills that void, right?
That same phrase was going through my head when you said it, wishful thinking.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden they're going to crank up production to drive prices down. I don't see that happening. And I think the market has sobered up today a little bit, and oil's back up. The best group yesterday, CF Industries and the fertilizer stocks, which have been kind of quiet here recently, all of a sudden Piper Sandler raised the price target of CF Industries from 132 from 120 to 132, okay, so 132, CF is currently at 98, so that's 30% upside potential, according to Piper Sandler. These guys aren't always right, and that was a very good, you know, news for all the oil stocks. I saw Mosaic up yesterday, CF Industries, Nutrien, they were the best performers on the day. Now, looking back, we start a new month today. This is the last month of the second quarter of 2022. And I'm expecting a little bit. We had a pretty good quarter going, earnings season until the very end. And we started to get those shocks from Walmart and Target and Ross stores. And, I think that this quarter, when it ends in 30 days, may be a little bit more disappointing. I'm lowering my expectations. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm lowering my expectations because I think the full force of inflation is now in the markets. And look at how much energy costs have risen over the last 30 to 60 days. So who were the best S&P performers in May? Energy stocks. Number one was Albemarle, which is the lithium stock, and number two was Devon Energy, which is one of our biggest holdings. So that's nice. We had the second biggest winner in the S&P 500 as U.S. crude oil climbed to its highest level in more than 11 weeks. We hit 118 for a while yesterday. Devon was up 29% in May, and Devon Energy is up 70% year to date. We've probably talked about Devon, DVN, more than any other stock this year, and it continues to be one of our biggest holdings. They tilt a little more towards that liquid natural gas, which we're thinking, and there's more evidence of that every day, that's more of the bridge. The only problem is when it comes to vehicles, it doesn't help liquid natural gas.
Right. Yeah. The only thing is I've read some emissions, you know, information, and in reality, most of your, I think vehicles account for, and don't quote me on this, but, you know, 13 to 18% of, you know, total greenhouse gases. So in reality, there's a, you can get more bang for your buck elsewhere in terms of right, CO2 emissions and that type of thing.
Most
of it's in your power generation.
I think you're right. That's about all. I mean, there's a lot of open land where there's no cars on this planet. Well, is a recovery in sight as Shanghai ends its two-month lockdown? Can you imagine being locked in your condo for 2 months? There was some celebration ringing out in Shanghai on Wednesday morning as the city of 25 million people ended a more than two-month lockdown that was originally supposed to last just 9 days. The draconian measures have tested the resolve of China's zero COVID policy, which seeks to eliminate outbreaks as soon as they occur at just about any cost. Imagine if we shut down, some of our biggest cities in America for 2 months. China remains one of the only countries in the world that still employs such a strategy, which communist leader Xi has said is needed to save lives and protect the healthcare system. Well, okay. I hope it's not coming to America. I won't be locked up for 2 months. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has given up all its gains. I'm going home. Show's open. Dow's down 138. S&P's down 17. I'm taking my ball and going home. You ever do that, Barry? Just, you know, it's not going your way.
Yeah, I see my kids do it here and there nowadays. I'm sure I did it as well.
I got a grandchild that upsets the table if she's losing the game. Well, I don't know. Whoops. Oh, there goes the whole game board. The Dow is down 146. We do have an inverse position on the Dow, so it's doing well. The S&P 500 is now down 18. We have an inverse position on the S&P, and we have an inverse position on the small caps. They're down 0.8%. Crude is hanging on to its gains. It's up $1.82, but the crude oil stocks have given up their gains, so now we're flat on the day. We were having a pretty good day. But I suppose being flat when the market is down 0.5%, that's okay. There is a little fine print on this Shanghai news, okay? Thousands, hundreds of thousands still remain locked in their homes. And Shanghai residents are fearful that restrictions can return. While steps are being taken toward a reopening, things are still far from normal with checkpoints, quarantine centers blanketing the commercial hub. Shops are not operating at full capacity. Indoor dining is not allowed. Theaters and gyms remain closed, and most children are still attending school online. You've got to get a negative COVID test every 72 hours to take public transport and to enter public venues. And any resident that travels to another city faces a quarantine of between 7 to 14 days. No
just
thanks.
Just to another city, right?
Man. Yeah. So, you know what? That's what they're doing. And draconian measures, authoritarian measures, if you ask me. Bank of Canada is seen hiking rates by another 50 basis points to tame inflation. So, you know, this inflation is not just that price that we get on oil every day, you know, those are global prices. Every country around the world is paying those prices, and it would seem that the supply chain is pretty much clogged all around the world. It's just not a phenomenon here. So, anyways, another who was it yesterday? It was record inflation in the UK, or was it Europe? I think it was Europe.
Europe, yeah. I think the UK, I think, was the week before. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Europe was, what, 8, I think 8, I want to say 8.1% or something.
And Europe needs
and
to get busy.
And theirs isn't coming down. Theirs is still, you know, we've seen a couple of things kind of level off here. Of course, still high. And I think you mentioned the PCE one yesterday, the Fed looks at, and it was pretty much flat. But the flat from where it was, it's still up. EU, I think, was like 8.1%, and I can only make an argument for higher inflation there just because of the fact that, you know, they're going to pass on, you know, their power costs are going to be more expensive, whether it's at the industry level or at the consumer level. It's going to be especially when it begins getting cooler over there in the coming months. So.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I agree. I think inflation is just going to get worse. Most of the restaurants now, if you want a salad, which used to be included in your dinner when I was growing up,
they want $16. They encouraged you to eat the salad. Right?
The salad is $16 now for a little wedge salad. You know what the heck? Lettuce. I grow my own. So, but when we do go out, it's just everywhere I look. Mohammed L. Aryan says the economy is still pretty strong, but the Fed needs to keep hiking. I think everybody agrees with that. I don't think there's going to be any lack of hikes going forward. I know that Jerome Powell met with President Biden yesterday in the Oval Office. I don't know what came from that, but we went through the plans that the administration has to decrease inflation, to whip inflation now. I didn't see anything there that...
It's likely a photo op.
It's just, I mean, it's just words.
And he, I mean, the you know, and we've talked about this a lot. It's, you know, the Fed is limited in terms of what they can do. I mean, they can't free up the port in, you know, here in Charleston, or free up the port in Long Beach, or cancel the lockdowns in Shanghai,
or open up North American oil.
Oil, yeah. There's a, you know, there's a certain amount of policy that has to occur, versus just you know, just at the Fed level. So
yeah. Okay. Here's Elizabeth Warren plans to crack down on SPAC deals. You know, I agree with her on this. I think those SPACs were a big ripoff. And I still have all these SPACs in my Best Stocks Now app that never did anything with the money that they got. Somebody did something.
You had to plug them all in is what you had to do.
How about the guys that floated the SPACs? I'm sure they absconded. They're paying themselves big salaries to search for a company. I was reading about the Coinbase IPO. You know who made out on the Coinbase IPO? The original investors and the officers. They all became billionaires. Coinbase has been one of the worst IPOs of all time. The investors in Coinbase have done terrible, but they walked away with big money. You know, the deal is, like in 2000, during the dot-com bubble, those that sold and walked away, I can give you a good example. The guy that owns the Dallas Mavericks, okay, what's his name?
Yeah, Mark Cuban.
He walked away from Broadcast.com. He said, look, the radio will be obsolete. Broadcast.com is not even around anymore. And he became a billionaire and then some. But he sold while the getting was good, and that's the trick, man. These people that take these crap companies public, I'm not saying Broadcast.com was a crap company, but these SPACs, they didn't even have a company. They didn't even have they. Don't, you don't even know what they're going to
they
do with that
just
money.
Put, I mean, really, they. I mean, it's much different. Even, you know, even like a Coinbase, right? They founded something, right, and brought it to the market. I mean, in a SPAC, they really just put together a deal.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really what
you're
they
buying
did.
Their checkbook.
Yeah,
a blank
they put
checkbook.
Together a deal, and that was it.
Okay, I saw the stocks down in Colombia really popping yesterday. There's a couple of them. Ecopetrol is one. Colombia has a lot of oil and natural resources, and I saw Equal Petrol jumping. I didn't know what was going on, but there was a surprise Colombia presidential election result. Now, the final result has not come
not
in
even
yet.
Not came in yet, right, yeah.
But there is a pro-business candidate, Rodolfo Hernandez. He won a place in Colombia's presidential election runoff. But the other guy, who probably will win in the general election, Gustavo Petro, he got 40% of the votes, and here's what he wants to do. He wants to. He's a total communist, basically. He wants to raise taxes and phase out oil and coal production, which are the country's main exports. Okay, so there's there goes their GDP. But you know, Petro is very popular because he's promising the world to these people in Colombia. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, it looks like maybe the 10-year is surging a little bit. It's up 7 basis points right now. Bitcoin's given up all its gains. It's down 420. And the S&P is down 31 right now. That's 0.75%. We're dead flat. You know, there's a concept here. That's alpha, right, Perry? If you're flat and the market's down 0.75%, that's 75 basis points of alpha. And seeking alpha, it cuts both ways. You know, in a rip-roaring up market, which obviously we don't have right now, you want to really try to make outrun the market, which we did back in 2020. And in this year's market, you want to stay ahead of it. As you know, look, the NASDAQ's down 23% so far this year.
And we're taking less risks, so you're actually getting a little, you're getting alpha and doing it with less capital at risk. So
what is that? Isn't that the sharp ratio? Doesn't that say, hey, this measures risk?
Yeah, that ties into it. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
So you know what? If you lower the risk considerably and can do a whole lot better, we have two. Our emerging growth portfolio is up about 8% year to date, and our best funds now, which is all ETFs, is up about 8% so far this year. Consider that the S&P is down 20, or the NASDAQ is down 23-24%, and ARK funds is down 50%. So, well, you know,
and inherently the emerging portfolio is going to have the most risk just because it's in that small cap or micro cap range. It's just that some of those oil names, some of those small oil companies have really outperformed. I mean, once oil gets to a certain, it's almost like optionality. You know, it's got some optionality there to where they may not produce cash at a, it may take a higher oil price for them to be profitable, but once they hit that profitability range, they just print money hand over fist. So.
Okay, I saw wheat prices plunge yesterday. I go, what is going on there? I don't think there's much chance of this. Russia has discussed letting the exports go out through the Black Sea from Ukraine.
I saw that. Yeah, like
if they release the sanctions, they're not going to take the sanctions off of him. They're not going to remove those sanctions. There's no way. But anyways, wheat prices are down. There's a lot of wheat sitting there in Ukraine right now, and that's not helping. The wheat prices there. All right, let's see what else. So Elon, he wants people back in the office. Okay, he says either come back to the office or you're not going to be working here anymore. I guess, what do they say? It's lonely in the executive suite. Li Auto made deliveries rise 166%. That's a Chinese electric. You know, they're rolling out electric vehicles much faster than we are. Now, here's one of the issues I see. Okay, right now there's very little selection for electric vehicles. Oh, there's waiting list. And I suppose someday, I mean, they'll catch up with the demand, but they're not exactly rolling off the assembly line right now. You know, the Chevy Volt, if you just go electric only, the range is 53 miles on that thing. Okay, it's more like like the Prius, where then it kicks over to gas. But GM to the rescue, the all-electric Hummer, draws rave reviews from Barron's, okay? And there's all these good things they say about it. You know, it's better than 15 other electric vehicles tested by the publication. It's got 1,000 horsepower. It's got goes 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds. But one catch with the electric Hummer is that it starts at $110,000. That's a lot of lettuce, you know. You're not going to be buying one. When your kids graduate from high school, you're going to buy them an electric Hummer there, Barry, 110 grand? That's the problem.
I need them to have a big vehicle just when they want how to drive, but I don't know about the $110,000.
Well, you're going to help save the planet, too. Now, here's my problem, too. You could say, well, look at all the money you're going to save on gas, all right? And it is a significant amount. If a Hummer used to get 8 to 10 miles per gallon. But that's a stiff pay to buy an electric vehicle. They are a lot more expensive, $110,000. And they continue to go up because the price of everything they use to build these cars, including yesterday we talked about lithium being up 500% over the last 12 months. That's a stiff entry price. Apple to shift a portion of its iPad production towards Vietnam. I'm seeing more and more of this, where they're trying to get less reliant on China. And I guess the thinking is that Vietnam is not under the eye of China, who flew 30 fighter jets over Taiwan, buzzed them over the weekend. Just a little warning there, Barry, you know. And now Japan is worried. I read that 90% of the Japanese are afraid that China could take out Taiwan and then take out Japan next. So, hey, we'll see. In the meantime, they got 100,000 people locked in their condos in Shanghai. SP Global, this is kind of a telling story here. You know that bond issuance is dropping like a rock because of the higher prices. So SPGI, which is, I think it's one of three rating agencies, they're giving a major warning. This is a massive company. I mean, this is S&P Global, $117 billion. But it's down 8% today after they warned. In fact, they suspended their previously issued forecast due to market volatility and uncertainty over the issuance environment. So the company, as interest rates rise, it becomes more and more expensive for companies and other entities to issue new debt. S&P Global is one of the three major companies that provide credit ratings for publicly issued debt. And I also saw that mortgage issuance has dropped big time amid rising interest rates. The 30-year mortgage is now at 5.33%.
Well, and if you remember all those debt deals that we saw and we were kind of laughed at, you know, when interest rates were so low, I mean, you know, people were paying 2.5%, 3% on notes, you know, for 20 years or whatever we were seeing. You know, we had some interesting ones that we kind of almost joked about and talked about on the show. You know, a lot of those companies have already, you know, kind of, you know, reposition their debt to where, you know, it doesn't make sense for them to roll any of it over now with interest rates so high. So your issuance is, you know, your supply of outstanding notes could decrease for a bit. So.
Well, and it hurts growth, too, because when these companies stop borrowing, I mean, they basically borrow. Some of them borrow and buy back shares and whatnot, but mostly they borrow to invest. In capital equipment and whatnot. So this is going to reverberate throughout the economy, which is what the Fed, I mean, it's by design. The Fed is doing this to slow down and put the brakes on an overheated economy and to try to get inflation under control. But it's going to affect a lot of people in different industries, in the real estate industry, in the real estate market, bond market, etc. So that's big news. Salesforce jumps on strong Q1 results. Okay, they're in the Dow, and the Dow was up, and it was pretty much all Salesforce. I guess the Salesforce, where is it now? CRM, that's our friend Mark Benioff. CRM is still up 12.7%. So, wow, you take that away from the Dow, and the Dow would be down even more. What's getting hit in the Dow? We better look at
that
real quickly.
Well, I think, it's kind of this spot where, you know, good news in the economy, it might be, you know, bad news for stocks and for, of course, while we've got rates going up. But the ISM came in a bit, ISM survey came in a bit, manufacturing rose more than expected in May. That's the only thing I can see, at least on an economic front. So maybe the thought is, manufacturing is doing good, which means the Fed's going to have
more rate
less
hikes.
Chance. Right. Yeah. That's the only thing I can see that's really changed much. That came out at 10:03 a.m. So
the other part of this, well, you know, that seems to be about when the market started to turn the corner and go down. The other part of this whole EV story is obviously the charging stations and the infrastructure. ChargePoint, they are down today after posting a larger loss than expected. But there's a lot of work to be done to build out the infrastructure. Of course, the cars aren't really here yet, but they're coming. I gotta believe that it's going to happen, whether folks want it or not. All right, when we come back, we'll see if there's anything jumping off the page today. There's always something. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 233 right now. It's mostly, it's 3M, it's Boeing, it's Goldman Sachs. You know, those are three totally different companies that do different things. But maybe fear, it's one of those days where you can blame it on fear of a global slowdown. That's kind of a catch-all phrase. That catches everything. The NASDAQ, which was up 150 or so, is now down 50. Crude oil is holding on to its gain, and that's where the stocks are that are popping off the page. A lot of them from our emerging growth portfolio or those types of stocks. The oil service stocks are having a good day today. In fact, the IEA, that's the International Energy Agency, they're the ones that are in charge of energy for the world to make sure there's enough, and they're also the ones that warned the oil companies not to use this opportunity to go drilling and starting new projects. And they came out, I don't know when this was, if it was today or yesterday, they say that the oil shortage and gas shortage could be as bad as the 1970s or even worse. Now, I was around in the 70s. I was commuting to work after I got out of high school. And you had to have a license plate, odd or even. And it would be odd one day, even the next. And the line would be about an hour and a half or so to get gas. And in many cases, it was rationed. Now, this is a self-inflicted thing. There's plenty of oil.
It was like a hurricane. It was like every time a hurricane came up when I was a kid in the Gulf.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a self-inflicted thing, and they're telling us to get ready. They're basically telling us it's coming. So, all right. I noticed bore drilling is up today again, another breakout. I have a small position in bore drilling. We don't own it because it's so small. But it is up another 9.5% today, BORR. It's a $6 stock.
That market cap's it's
almost a billion.
Yeah, 760 to million a day, and then of course I think that's without that 10% gain. So yeah, it's getting close to a billion now.
This stock began the year at about 243, but last year it was $1.12. And now it's 610. They provide offshore drilling services to the oil and gas industry worldwide. And then there's another one that's just like it. I have a small position in this one also myself. I disclose that. W&T Offshore. Some of these are just too small, risky. I'll take a little bit more risk there. Some of them aren't liquid enough. This one's pretty liquid, actually. WTI is the symbol. It's been off and on over the years many times. When oil and gas gets hot, it gets hot. It's ranked number 5 right now in that sector. There's 197 stocks in the oil and gas U.S. exploration/production sector. It's ranked number 5 by MarketSmith. I don't have my app up and running right now.
Forward PE is 3.32.
There you go. And the relative strength is 98.
Yeah.
And it's breaking out to a new all-time high today. It's up 8.8% to $7. Well, look, companies are going to scramble to get oil out of the ground at $116 per barrel while the getting's good. But I think it's going to be elevated. I think oil prices are going to be elevated. I don't know that they're ever coming back down again, to be honest with you. But WTI is another one. And it's cranking today, jumping off the page.
Year-over-year earnings estimates are 782% higher than last year.
Well, yeah. I mean, when the product you – well, they're doing the drilling, okay? So I'm sure they're able to charge a premium price.
Yep, as rigs increase.
Their phones are ringing off the hook. We want to do some drilling offshore. How quickly can you get here? Can you be here by Friday? Another one that we've mentioned before is Next Decade, which is down there trying to get that liquid natural gas going to be able the U.S. is an exporter of LNG. And the stock LNG is one good example of that, Cheniere. And now the NASDAQ's up 3 points. Oh, man. What did you say about up and down in May?
Yeah, I guess we're going to June 1st. I guess
nothing has changed. We were up 200 and then down 200, and now we're coming back. Next Decade, NEXT, is one that's out there. They do not have any sales. They have no earnings. But they're definitely building. They have a project that will provide liquid natural gas to customers worldwide. This is much more speculative. This would fit down. We don't own it. Maybe we do. I have to look. I can't remember, to be honest with you. Next Decade, I don't think we do. It's up 5.3% right now.
If so, relative strength. Growth. Yeah, we do own it. That's where
we do own it. Yeah. Oh, I love this thing.
I think.
Then.
Let me go.
99 relative strength, but they have no earnings. Okay, so this is definitely out there on the horizon, and so that's the next one is Next, NEXT, and we'll do one more. The shipping companies remain very strong that ship the natural gas. TORM. Which is TRMD, that's that company out of the UK that owns 75 vessels that transport refined oil products. And, you know, with a shortage of pipelines, with Russia closing down pipelines, guess what? There's huge demand right now for ships because that's the alternative to get the oil and the energy to places like Finland, like Germany, and other. I think they cut off the pipeline to Denmark. I think the Netherlands, just, you know, one by one, they're losing their energy from Russia. So TRMD is a play on shipping instead of piping. All right. Well, you get 2 weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to call us and get a second opinion on your portfolio or talk to us about our management, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Take care, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.